Good morning from the Democratic National Convention in Atlanta. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
Oh, so obviously, 2/3 having voted in the affirmative, the motion is agreed to, the rules are suspended, and Governor Michael Dukakis is nominated by acclamation for the office of President of the United States.
The sound of victory and unity in Atlanta late last night as Democrats celebrated the long certain nomination of Michael Stanley Dukakis as their 1988 presidential candidate. As they danced and cheered, red Jesse Jackson banners waved alongside blue Dukakis signs, symbolic of the spirit of unity forged here in Atlanta after Dukakis agreed to give Jackson a major role in his campaign. The closely scripted nominating session was centered on the roll call and the earlier nominating speeches. Jesse Jackson attached great significance to having come so close to the prize, and Machinist Union President William Wimpersinger spoke for him.
I stand before you tonight to place in nomination the name of that one person in this vast nation of ours who has roused the moral conscience of the populace and our party.
The task of placing Dukakis' name in nomination, and in so doing introducing him to the American people, went to Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton.
This man has the character, the record, and the vision America needs at this moment in our journey. He's the right man for this time.
Then came a roll call designed to give California Lieutenant Governor Leo McCarthy the honor of putting Dukakis over the top.
For Michael Dukakis, the nominating margin, 235 votes.
California has cast 122 votes for Jesse Jackson and 235 votes for Michael Dukakis.
The Omni Arena crowd went wild, and in the end, Dukakis got 2,876 votes to Jackson's 1,218. There were cheers, kisses, and champagne in the Atlanta hotel suite where Dukakis sat sockless and in shirt sleeves watching with his family and top aides. But Dukakis himself was not among those cheering. He smiled but was more restrained than his mother, wife, and children. Bill Whitaker reports.
It was the night Dukakis had been working toward for 17 months. He spent the evening quietly with his family in their hotel suite watching the convention vote on TV. They drank a toast once the nomination was clinched. Son John Dukakis said the low-key celebration was his father's style.
Our job in the course of this campaign is to let people know that even though he doesn't pound tables and he doesn't cry on cue, this is a person who cares very deeply about this country and uses that feeling to move things in different ways.
Tonight, Texas Senator Lloyd Benson is to be nominated for vice president, and Dukakis will deliver his acceptance speech. Tomorrow, the Democratic ticket hits the campaign trail. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Atlanta.
Jesse Jackson captivated the convention with his passion and poetry Tuesday night, but last night he ceded the spotlight to the nominee and assumed a new role for himself. Far from being the troublemaker here many had feared, Betsy Aaron reports Jackson enhanced his role as a party leader with a final magnanimous gesture.
Last night, when the votes were tallied, Jackson instructed his campaign chairman, California Assemblyman Willie Brown, to turn all the Jackson votes over to Dukakis.
To nominate by acclamation the governor of the great state of Massachusetts, the Honorable Michael Dukakis, for the President of these United States.
Today is the first day of the fall campaign, and Jesse Jackson, who never stopped campaigning, is ready. He's applied for Secret Service protection to carry him through the November election, and his staff is already talking about setting up travel schedules. There is a voter registration drive to launch. There is money to be raised for the Jackson Keep Hope Alive Political Action Committee. And while Jesse Jackson works to elect the Dukakis-Benson ticket, he is sowing the seeds for the next Jackson assault on the White House. Betsy Aaron, CBS News, Atlanta.
Democrats ended the night with fireworks and parties, still not quite sure how long their newfound unity will last, but hoping it will hold up well enough to help them to their first presidential victory in a dozen years. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News in Atlanta. The World News Roundup continues now with Mike Pulsifer in New York.
And Bill, as you well know, likely Republican presidential nominee George Bush has been under fire at the Democrats' convention. The vice president has ended a short vacation, returning to the campaign trail and also returning the political fire.
This is Jacqueline Adams in Warren, Michigan. Campaigning among a cross-section of Detroit-area ethnic groups, Bush launched his own attack against the Democrats in Congress, who've abandoned Nicaragua's Contra rebels.
It is a national disgrace. We have not kept faith with those who had faith in us.
Though Bush intends to campaign for the rest of this week, the next major item on his agenda is picking his running mate. So far, he's refused to name names, hoping to save a little mystery for next month's Republican convention. But Bush did say his former rival, Senate Minority Leader Bob Dole, will be on any list. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Warren, Michigan.
U.S. officials have been invited to join Vietnam in a search for the remains of U.S. servicemen still listed as missing in action in the Vietnam War. Rick Fredrickson in Bangkok has more.
In only a couple of instances have U.S. officials been allowed into Vietnam to look for missing servicemen. Today's announcement appears to open the way for a vastly expanded search. According to Radio Hanoi, Foreign Minister Nguyen Co Thach said Vietnam welcomes the U.S. to join in efforts in searching out and excavating for remains. August, September, and October were specifically mentioned. Accounting for the more than 1,700 missing U.S. servicemen is one of the main roadblocks to normalizing relations with Vietnam. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
Vietnam now says it's moving up the date for withdrawal of all its troops from Cambodia by early 1990. That's a year earlier than previously announced. One-time Colombian presidential candidate Alvaro Gomez Hurtado has been freed 53 days after being kidnapped by leftist guerrillas. Colombian political and civic leaders agreed to hold talks with the rebels. It's life in prison without parole plus 135 years for convicted Colombian cocaine dealer Carlos Lader, a sentence handed down by a federal judge in Jacksonville, Florida. U.S. Attorney Joe Magri is pleased.
The judge fairly, justly, and appropriately socked it to a hoodlum who deserved every minute of that sentence.
Lader also was fined $350,000. The Dow Industrials are down nearly 9 points, standing now at 2107.7. New York Stock Exchange volume, 16.5 million shares. Hospital sources say clashes with Israeli soldiers have left two West Bank Palestinians dead, at least 17 hurt today. It's said to be the worst violence in the occupied territories in 2 months. It's 10 after the hour. CBS News, I'm Mike Pulsifer. Rain has been falling on and off since early this month, and some of the areas hit by drought. Still, experts say there hasn't been enough to offset the impact of the water shortage. An example, Mark Randall of the Illinois Department of Agriculture says 5 inches fell in the southern part of his state yesterday alone.
The problem is that's a small percentage of the total Illinois production. South of I-70 amounts to about 7% of Illinois' grain production in a given year, and that's where the rains have occurred. The bulk of the state where the grain is produced has still received very little substantive rain.
And growers are not the only ones facing financial problems as a result of the drought.
This is Bob Burnell, a CBS radio affiliate KOTA in Rapid City, South Dakota. The drought is having an impact on small-town businesses. Regional Federal Reserve Bank President Gary Stern says consumers in rural areas of the Midwest are concerned, and that's resulted in a slowing of the economy. Stern says if the drought continues into next year, it could be a dangerous situation.
People can pretty well weather this, no pun intended, if it's a one-year phenomenon, both producers and bankers. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is going to come through it okay, but I think it does suggest that the vast majority of participants will come through it okay, as long as it's a one-year phenomenon.
Agriculture Secretary Richard Ling has visited parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota and said it's the worst area he's seen on his 10-state tour of the parched Midwest. Bob Burnell for CBS News, Rapid City, South Dakota.
The United States has accepted Vietnam's invitation to conduct a joint search for U.S. servicemen missing in action in the Vietnam War. State Department spokeswoman Phyllis Oakley.
We are pleased to confirm that Vietnam has offered to work jointly with the United States on concerted efforts to resolve the issue of American military and civilian personnel still missing and unaccounted for from the Vietnam War. We have long urged Vietnam to agree to joint activities such as field investigations, surveys, and excavations, and to expedite the resolution of the POW-MIA issue.
Oakley says Washington and Hanoi have agreed to hold planning meetings in the Vietnamese capital Monday through Thursday. Nearly 1,800 Americans are still listed as missing in Vietnam. 42 are civilians, including two women. Michael Dukakis's big moment is just hours away. He'll deliver a speech tonight telling delegates to the Democratic National Convention in Atlanta, he accepts their decision to nominate him as President of the United States. There had been speculation Jesse Jackson's name might be put forth as vice presidential nominee, but that was doused when the Democratic National Committee announced only Lloyd Benson's name has been offered by the deadline for nomination filings. The likely Republican nominee is campaigning in the South today, George Bush making appearances in North and South Carolina before returning to Washington tonight. Stocks are down. The Dow Industrials have lost 10.5 points, standing now at 2,100 even. New York Stock Exchange volume, 107 million shares. At 3 minutes after the hour, this is CBS News.